Rocket.
I saw. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
When are you watching Spy Family?
Thursday. I have tickets already.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say this. You're going to know the part that made me go, maybe not this movie.
I feel like it's gonna be something that I'm so used to because I watch so much anime that I'm desensitized by it.
Maybe. It's going to be very obvious. It's going to be like, okay, I can see why Eddie wanted to walk out. Legitimately, if I didn't promise you that we were going to review that movie, I would have walked out.
I don't believe it cannot have been that bad.
Admittedly, I've seen other reviews. I was like, what do other people think of this? I'm in the minority. I'm fine. I'm fine with the fact that like it's a joke, just I didn't get. But it's one of those rare situations where it's like everyone else gets it, but you don't. It's one of those.
I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna see the movie. I'm gonna get to that part. I'm gonna finish the movie and I'm gonna be like, what fucking part? Like,
You don't know what part, trust me.
I can guarantee you it's gonna be something that look, here's a prediction, and we can cut this out and put it in the next one just as a prediction.
Okay.
Okay? Here's what's gonna happen. I'm going to see the movie. I'm going to either notice the moment or I'm going to not notice the moment, and then you'll tell me the moment, and I'll be like, it wasn't that bad. And then you'll be like, but it was so cringe, man. And then that will be it. And I'll be like, and I'll be like, you are weak-willed and you are weak of strength and your beard doesn't connect. And
I will cut this podcast right now. All right. I can go back and I can delete every fucking episode that you're in. That's the vast majority of my catalog, but I'll fucking do it.
Anyway, point is that I don't believe it's that bad, but we'll see. We'll
It's
see.
not, it's, oh, and again, I am the weird one in this particular case. I've seen other reviews where other people think it's fucking hilarious. And I'm like, I guess it's just me. It's just me. I'm the weird one in this one. I'm the problem. It's me.
I'm curious, but like I have my tickets. We'll wait for when it happens.
I'll say this. It is a scene that has never taken place in the entire anime. It's very, it feels out of place.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll see. All
Okay.
right.
So, Monkey Man.
Oh, you want to just jump right into
Oh,
it? Just
do you have a bit? I'm ready to go.
No, I'm just
Go for
disappointed
it.
that my friends would betray me and not let me review the movie I wanted to review with them. But okay, you know,
Okay,
we'll
let's do
just
the fuck. Okay, go
it's
fuck you.
no, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're
Let's do
not.
a
We're not
mini
gonna do a
review.
mini
Why
review.
not? Let's just mention it real quick. What did you like? What was your favorite part?
About Abigail?
Yeah.
Dude, it was fucking amazing. Like it was so fun. It's been so long since I've been in a movie theater where everyone is laughing. Like we're all laughing. These two guys, Radio Silence, Matt Bettinelli Open and Tyler Gillett, they're great directors. I've loved all their movies. Well, that's a lie. Devil's Due was not good. But the second that they realized that they could do funny and horror at the same time, that's when they hit their stride because Ready or Not was great. The last two Scream movies were great, and Abigail is also great. I like the cast. I like all of them. I like Melissa Barrera. I like Dan Stevens. I like Catherine Newton. I like Kevin Durant. I like Giancarlo Esposito. I like everyone. Dan Stevens was stupidly funny. Like seeing this guy just lose his mind and curse every 2 seconds was stupidly funny. The fact that the whole movie just takes place in a mansion
The
is
bottom.
good. It's a bottle movie. The fact that I literally could not predict where it was going, and we were all discovering it like step by step, it was just super fun. It's one of those movies that in like 30 or 40 years they're gonna be like, hey, they're remaking Abigail. I'm like, fuck yeah, that movie was so fun. I just hope it becomes like the cult classic that it deserves to be. Yeah, ask me.
I have a question. Okay. Do you think, and it's a common question that I've seen, do you think the movie could have worked if they had kept the fact that she was a vampire a secret and they just made it
I
a monster or something?
thought the same thing, but it would have been so hard to sell. It would have been
That's why
so
that's the
hard to
hook,
sell.
and it's a little girl vampire.
Yeah, but while I was watching it and while the movie was like kind of developing itself as like they were like their fear was consuming them, like, oh, are we betraying each other? I thought like, man, this would have been so cool if I didn't know that it was like a vampire. But it would be such a fun movie to show someone that they have no idea what it's about. That would be such a good idea. But I can understand why they didn't. It was good. Some of the funniest parts were not even in the trailer, so it was good. Rest in peace, Angus Cloud. God, he was so funny in this movie.
Is it just me though? Is it? I'm gonna be a damper, but it's kind of a shame he died. Like he basically like had like what maybe 10 minutes of screen time, if that.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot. But here's the thing: you never saw Euphoria, right?
Nah.
So he was in Euphoria, and like that's this whole thing, like that the fact that he kind of gained everyone's like hearts by being in Euphoria, because he plays this like a drug dealer character who Zendaya, who's the main character, goes to him and like they're super close friends, and she's like, "I need drugs," and but like it starts with her coming out of rehab. And goes up to him and he's like, "Yo, what up, Fez? I need drugs." And he's like, "Not anymore, cutting you off."
Damn, what
And
really?
she goes like, "Why? You're my friend." And I go, "Exactly. I'm your friend. That's why I'm not giving you any more drugs." No. And like it starts like that. And like some of the most dramatic scenes in the show are like her showing up to his house, like completely broken down, completely like in anger, like yelling at him, like, and him like trying to swallow his pride of like, God damn it, like I'm not gonna give her anything, like it's gonna be worse. And
Yeah.
then people also like, and then so he was so charismatic, so lovable, and then in the second season he kind of started this romance with another one of the main characters that also just everyone loved. Like he was just a character that everyone likes in this show. And after seeing him in this movie, I thought, man, that's such a shame. Because like I feel like he could have been one of those comedic actors that just kind of plays the same role everywhere, but everyone just gets happy to see him. He
Like
could have been
Jack
like
Black.
a Jack Black or like a Seth Rogen, you know? Because he the way that he talks and the way that he acts in this is exactly how he talks and asks in Euphoria. So it's just, and this is how he was. Like that was just his manner of speaking, his like cadence, his vocal stuff. That's just how he talks. So rest in peace, Angus Cloud. He was good in this movie. It's his last thing that he filmed. Yeah,
Say, is
rest in
this like
peace.
his last credit? Unfortunately, yeah, it is, right?
Yeah, it is. Because I think he finished filming this and like a couple weeks later he passed away.
Did he?
So
I don't mean to get morbid here when I ask, but was it like an overdose or what happened?
I don't know, honestly. I think if they said, I never looked it up.
That's fair. I remember they kept it. Oh, that's right. They kept it quiet for a while. I remember that. But no.
But yeah, so no, the Abigail is really good. 4 and 4.5 out of 5. Love it.
Yeah, great. They also one last thing. Did you bust out? Did you cry laugh when she was like, "I got the garlic." Those are
Those are
onion
onions.
dumplings.
Yeah,
Oh
to
man.
me it was to me the funniest thing was just Dan Stevens just over and over just being so done with everything and cursing, and also Kevin Durant, who plays Peter, just playing this like prank almost character of like this dumb muscle guy. Just oh, it was so funny.
I really enjoyed him though. Like he, God damn the heart in him. He was fun though. This is a fun movie. Or something funny. I think it's a good movie to watch, specifically with friends. Like if you're drinking, hanging out, like shooting the shit. Y'all want to watch Abigail? Shit talk? Fuck yeah, let's go. One of those movies. It's a good one though.
And also I like that every time that a character would explode, I feel like the explosion just got bigger. Like the blood will go anywhere, everywhere, and
Exploded. I think it was only Abigail's hand and Frank, no? Or was there another character?
yeah. No, but like also Sammy when she exploded.
I
And
forgot
then,
about her. You're right. You're right. You're right.
yeah, at the end, it was just really good. Really, really like this one.
All right. That's our mini review of Abigail. You want to dive into Monkey Man?
Hell yeah!
Damn, I hit the engine.
thank you for welcoming us into your headphones. My name is Chema.
I'm ready.
Reviewing Monkey Man. This is the rollback. One small ember can burn down everything. An anonymous young man who ekes out of a meager living in an underground fight club where night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he's beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, he finally discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. So this is the new revenge flick, Monkey Man, directed by Dev Patel. His first credited and starring Dev Patel and Sikandar Kerr, Pito Bash, Subito, Dua Lipa, Bipan, Sharma, Charlito Copley, and other colorful characters. So much has been said about this movie. Dev Patel pretty much self-funded this project. Because he said that he never got auditions or cast in a movie like this. And this is a movie that he wanted to make. So he was like, God damn it, I'm going to do it myself if I have to. And
he straight up Thanos did.
He straight up Thanos did. And then he showed the movie to like several projectors. And Netflix had bought it originally. But then, I don't know where, Jordan Peele comes in like Tails and just picks him up and it's like, nah man, this is not for the streaming, this is for the theaters. And then we all looked at him and we were like, you know, this is what I like about Jordan Peele. He walks the walk and he talks the talk, man. Like he is like, I want to see this movie in theaters, fuck it, I'll make it happen in theaters. So I think both of them should be applauded for this effort, because this is a really cool movie that I'm glad exists. Because maybe at first it can come off as like a John Wick-esque kind of movie, but be warned, it is not. It is quite different. It does feel on that same vein, but it is very different. And mainly because I am a Dev Patel fan. I love Dev Patel. I have liked him since Skins. I liked him when he, when everybody knew his name, when he did a Slumdog Millionaire. And every performance that I've seen by him, I've liked. I liked the David Copperfield movie, I really liked. I liked the little short films that just came out on Netflix that Wes Anderson directed that he was in with alongside Cumberbatch. I love the movie Lion. That was a couple years ago. That was also like a big Oscar contender. Mm-hmm. And we were divided on Monkey Man, but we were divided on Green Knight, but I think we can both agree that his performance was really good.
He was nowhere near the problem in Green Knight, not at all.
Yeah, and now here he is, his directorial debut. He wanted to make a movie like this, so here we are. What did you think of Monkey Man?
I guess from the outside, like, I want to do the same thing I did with Abigail, which was look at it from the outside in. First impression would be, I'd argue the movie was marketed incorrectly, because they tried to market it as a John Wick, I won't say ripoff, but it very much, you're right, in the same vein. But this has a lot more emotion and political stuff behind it. It's a movement movie more than it is like John Wick related. This was also like a movie of two halves. The first half where he's trying to get revenge out of anger, and the second one where he's fighting for something else, and that's why he succeeds the second time around. Top of my head, really, really enjoyed it. Dev Patel fucking went balls to the wall. He's a first-time director, and you can tell for the good and for the bad. For all the shaky cam and for all the emotion, for all the great fight scenes, and for some of the great fight scenes that you can't see because it's fucking shaky cam. You can tell he's a first-time director, but if this is his first like shot at it, god damn, imagine when he does another one.
Also I see him being as like a director that maybe changes the genre. Like, if he directs another movie, I don't think it's going to maybe another one like this.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I think if he does another one, I would like to see him do like a drama or fuck it. He says he wants to do, he says something really funny. He was like, I want to be in a rom-com, but like, I've never been asked to. Like, am I just not attractive enough? And it's like, buddy, you are like top three, one of the most attractive people I've ever met. Like that, like Dev Patel is a handsome man. Like, why is he not in rom-coms? Did y'all see him? Like, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't cast him in a rom-com because he looks like a very like prestige actor. Like, it's almost like a rom-com that's beneath him. Not in a mean way, but like, that he like reminds me of a Timothy Chalamet. Like, nah, this dude does Oscar bait. Like, there's no, like, he wouldn't do a rom-com. And I say that in a good way. I hope that does not come off as an insult. It seems like he's too good for a rom-com.
I mean, I think he could do it. He did an episode of Modern Love, and I thought he was really good in that.
I mean, no, I'm if he wanted to do a rom-com, I'm sure he'd kick the shit out. Like, he'd do amazing.
Yeah. And so I don't want to jump in immediately to like specific parts of the movie, but I do want to point something really funny, because I saw this movie with Jess, and we were walking out, and we were talking about it and stuff. And usually, the movies that we have seen together in theaters, they've all been movies that we both liked, or that we both feel like, okay, yeah, this is for me. Like, yeah,
yeah.
It's never felt like we were dragging one another to like see a movie that the other one wanted to see.
Yeah.
Except for this one. This one.
Really?
This one, we were like, well, we're between this and Love Lies Bleeding and something else. We were like, whichever one's closest to like the time. And we saw this one and we're like, oh, fine. We'll watch this one. And we came out and I was like, that was pretty good. That was pretty fun. Like, I liked it. I didn't love it, but like, I liked it. And she was like, I just don't think I am the target demographic. And I was like, all right, yeah, that's valid.
That's fair.
Because yeah, and she was like, I mean, I did like it. I did have fun with it, but it's just, I don't love it. I was like, I liked it. I love it more than I like it, but like, I don't love it, love it.
Yeah.
However, we did found one scene particularly funny, which is, there's a scene where he's in this temple, because he wakes up in this temple and he's being guarded by this, I cannot believe I'm going to make this sentence. I'm going to say a sentence, but like, It's protected by trans women warriors from an ancient trans women warrior tribe, which is fucking amazing. And they're all there, and they become kind of like his army, which is, I mean, never seen that before. It's amazing.
Man, it is insane how political this film is in just the smallest ways. For all the anti-trans like policies that have been coming out, and I don't mean the U.S. I'm talking about India, like anti-LGBTQ plus like policies. To see that army, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, that is commentary, and I don't hate it.
That is, it was incredible. But there's just this one moment where he's getting his strength back. It's kind of like his Dark Knight Rises moment, where he's like, you know, getting the, like, his body's recovering and he's training again and he's fighting and he's like getting ready. And then there's a great moment where he takes off his shirt.
Yeah.
And all of the women in the temple just go, whoop. And I can just imagine Dev Patel going up to him and be like, all right, so in this part, I'm going to take off my shirt. And you're all going to woo at me. And they're like, you want us to what? It's like, I'm going to take off my shirt. And you're going to be like, oh my God, you're so hot. And like, woo at me. That's what you're going to do. Okay. It's in the script. It's in the script. Okay. Okay. Cheers. And just goes to the scene. Like, it's like, like Dev Patel, I love you. I was always familiar with your game. But my God.
Dude, you first.
I was going to say, this is like when Joseph Gordon-Levitt directed that movie, where it's like, this is a movie that I'm going to direct, and it's about a sex addict, and he's addicted to sex.
And Scarlett Johansson is his girlfriend.
And Scarlett Johansson is my girlfriend. Yes, that is a movie that is my script.
Julianne Moore.
He also gets a script with Julianne Moore. Yes, that is correct.
Which, yeah. You son of a bitch, you had to win twice. Don't worry about it.
Yes. So that's yeah. Again, not a criticism. It's just very funny. Like, imagine being on that set that day. Imagine being the craftsperson being like, this
No wonder he's
motherfucker.
having me bring in meat patties, son of a
Like,
bitch.
this cheeky bastard.
Today is cut day, no water. But yeah. So the movie, I love how it's a slow unraveling, but they don't make us wait till the very end. Like halfway through the film, we find out what happened. When Kid was younger, he was part of a village that was targeted for relocation. They need water for land development, essentially. And the cops clear it out. His mother hides him, and the poor kid watches her be killed and then her body being burned, and that's what causes the scars on his hands. The scars on his hand inevitably, like, the end up causing a revolution with the blood on his hands, or I guess the flames of his hands. It's also very much inspired by the tales of Hanuman. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. I apologize if I am, genuinely. And when she tells him that story at the very beginning, I'm immediately like, okay, this is the rough arc that we're gonna follow. He's gonna reach for the stars, get burned, and then go back.
Yeah, it's a classic reborn kind of story, and but the difference here is that it takes place is where it takes place is who takes place in and who appears in this, which I think is is an important part because we have a ton of these white men get revenge movies, you know. We have a ton of them. We don't have a ton of brown kids getting revenge, and I think that's very important because in this movie he goes like fuck cops, trans rights are human rights, and fuck corrupt leaders. And I'm just gonna say it like the white revenge movies don't say that.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Well, and I like how in this one. And again, they are confronting a lot of the problems and issues in another country when it comes to corrupt police forces, corrupt political leaders, corrupt spiritual leaders, which, again, folks, heads up. If a spiritual leader in your country is a millionaire, he's a bad guy. No, don't tell me, don't tell me. But what if they're really nice people? No. If they're religious, but they're millionaires, they're bad people because actual religious leaders don't hoard money. I'm just making that point. Sorry. That said, though, the first half of this film, he's very much trying to get revenge strictly on the cop, Rana Singh, who is the actual cop that murders his mother. And up to that point, when he gets him in the restroom to kill him, you know, with the spiked cocaine, I was like, it's too early for this to happen. Something's gonna go wrong. It has to. And sure enough, when he's fighting for himself, when he's fighting simply for revenge, he loses. There's too much going on. He doesn't have that drive. I'm not saying he doesn't want to kill this guy, but in the same way in The Dark Knight, where I'm sorry, this is the only comparison I can make it. You fight like a younger man, nothing held back. You know, you think that the fear of not dying gives you strength. How can you fight longer than a normal man? You know, hit harder than a normal man. He's ready to die. So that consequentially results in his loss. Whereas in the second half of the film, when he's fighting, not just for revenge, but to help people, he can pull it out. He has the will to find that strength, to find that second gear. That I love that aspect of the film. It's a film of two halves to me.
Yeah, duality. It's ever present, and I like how you mentioned yourself unraveling what's gonna happen. I wanted to know the story of why he was doing what he was doing, and when we finally get to see his childhood and like piece everything together, because that scene where where his mom hides him in the ceiling is freaking heartbreaking and very effective for a movie like this, because you want to be on this guy's side. You want to know what's going to happen, and you want him to see the issue through, which ends up working pretty well. or a story like this.
I think also speaks volumes to the fact that, like, several times he does random acts of kindness, and those acts add up, one, like, to his allies and give him the opportunity to do what he needs to do. Very much in that same vein, like the dog that he treats nice, that he, you know, constantly feeds him, he's able to get the, he's able to get him the gun. The gentleman that he helps him win money, he helps him get a job. He's trying to do right by being a good person. He hopefully gets a little closer to the revenge, which he does. Inevitably, it saves his ass in the second half of the film when he's surrounded by these insurmountable odds of, like, what, 16, 20 henchmen are about to jump him all at once. And even for, like, a guy that knows how to fight, and man, 20-on-1 is kind of hard. And that's when we get these, I'll say this, trans warrior women to come and fight and just beat the shit out of these guys, backing him up.
It's one of the best scenes when he said, when he's in the club, and then little by little, like, they start to roll in.
Yeah.
And they, oh my God, it was just like, he's leading an army of trans women to fight against fascist police. Like, my God, like, and you were gonna dump this on Netflix for, like, no one to see? For, like, Netflix to botch their marketing again so that no one would see it? Like, Jesus Christ, like.
And I already see it. In Netflix, it would have been, like, sold as, like, an Enter the Dragon-esque film. Like, they would have marketed it like that. You know they would have. But luckily, it was safe from Netflix. And we got to see this awesome movie showing two halves. There's something I texted you earlier that I noticed rewatching some of this, that, and I don't know if it was on purpose, maybe it was a mistake. I would hope it was on purpose. There's a scene where Queenie, the, I guess, like, the head mistress of, like, the brothel, fires her gun at him, right? Like, during that scene. And there's a scene where he's against the wall and he looks, and directly behind him are the bullet holes that she just shot.
Oh, yeah.
Part of me, maybe it was a continuity error. Part of me wants to believe that it was divine intervention that saved him. Like, your story's not over yet. I need you to take out this guy who's a false prophet in my name. Kind of like how in Pulp Fiction, you know how those bullets, like, how did they miss us? It's impossible. Like, God interfered. I want to hope that that was on purpose. That God interfered a second time around. Maybe I'm wrong.
I see it. No. I think you might be, you know, you might have hit it, like, exactly where it is, because, look, the ending of this movie is a little vague. Like, in the sense of, like, he should have died. Like, by everything that happened to him, like, nearing the end. And they leave us with this, he manages to do what he must do, which is kill this false prophet. But then it ends with, like, him also kind of, like, going, like, down like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't know where he lives or dies. And that's okay, you know. We don't need three other sequels, you know. This is fine. But I think it's supposed to be, like, a closure. Maybe he died, or maybe he was like, fucking finally I can rest. Like, maybe, like,
it was a Tony Stark situation.
Yeah, it was like, maybe he just needed, like, that. But it's a closure moment, and it's important that a movie like this has a moment like that, because, like we learn at the end of the last John Wick movie, you're never really done. Like, no one's really done with you, like, once you start something like this. So, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good ending. It was all around a pretty good product. It's 2 hours long. To me, it's a little much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have cut a little bit more of the wrestling scenes, like the scenes of the ring. Like, to me, yeah, those were the parts that, like, took way longer. But overall, it's a great product. Like, I'm glad I saw it in theaters.
No.
Yeah, and I would recommend everyone does so as well.
You know, it's funny because I can't, you're right, the movie does feel long, but I also can't think of any scenes that I would cut. Like, not off the top of my head. It feels like everything here has purpose. Even the goddamn tuk-tuk chase scene, like, feels like it fits. The accident, the running on
Oh,
top of
yeah.
buildings, the chases, everything feels like it serves a purpose. So I can't think of anything I would cut, to be honest. But again, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I
Yeah.
liked it, and that was good.
Yeah, me too. I also liked it, didn't love it. I give it a I was gonna say 3.5, but I'll give it the four the full four. I think it's definitely fun, definitely entertaining, a great debut for Dev Patel, who I hope only goes and makes greater things after this, you know. Martin Scorsese is directing a movie about Jesus. I mean, Dev Patel is right there.
Yeah, but was Martin gonna do like accurate Jesus or like American Jesus?
I don't care. Just Dev Patel is right there. Or
Also, is he making an
what's?
actual like movie about Jesus Christ?
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. He's done one before.
What?
Yeah, he did The Last Temptation of Christ. Scorsese.
Oh, but this is gonna get interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
He's doing. Let me see, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? No, I can't find it. All right, fuck it. Who knows? Maybe a Jesus Christ movie will be good. Lapsed
Yeah.
Christian. Okay, fair enough. But okay. Yeah, mate, anything else you want to say about it?
Not really. I don't have a lot to say about this one. Just that it was really fun. It was great to see in the theaters. And yeah, big fan of Dev Patel. Can't wait to see what he does next. Yeah, fuck it. Cast him in something. Make him James Bond. Like something. Like just keep him around. He's good product.
No, I yes, keep him around. I just don't know what he's gonna do next. Whatever he does, I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll see it. Like I'm gonna have it on my radar. And everyone, go watch Lion, because that was an underrated movie, even though it got nominated for Best Picture. But nobody talks about it anymore. Really good. Go watch it.
While you're there, don't
Yeah.
watch Green Knight.
Or watch Green Knight.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, you know how I feel about Green Knight. All right, so this is gonna be a short one. It's just us talking about this one. And yeah, it's good. There's kind of not a lot to say. It's just what the points
Movie.
that paints are good and the points that mark are remarkable. And this is definitely a movie that you should all go watch. But it is better experience than it is discussed about. Because if we do, all we're gonna do is just go like, do you remember the part where he was hitting and the part where he got punched and the
Oh, the
part where he
acting
like
pieces were outstanding. If I
and
understand
the
that now.
part where he like pushed the knife with his teeth into the guy's neck, like yeah,
All
fucking
great.
great. Oh great, yeah.
Oh, I did see a first time ever kill in this film.
A what?
The part where he uses a bottle, smashes it on the top of a oven. Never seen that before. So congrats. He had a first time kill that I've never seen. I've seen plenty of you guys get stabbed.
Yeah.
You ever saw someone set on fire with soy oil? So good for you, man. That was properly brutal, but that was cool. Just gosh. Gah! Man, dumb.
Yeah. Super good. All
But
right.
yeah.
So that was Monkey Man. Join us next week where we discuss Spy Family Code White. Yeah, which, you know, that
Which
will be.
will be, I promise it'll be more divisive than this one.
Oh my God. What is it gonna end up your top 10 worst of the year or
What, Spy Family?
yeah.
Those 2 minutes might. Not the whole film, but those 2 minutes might.
My God, watch it be like a musical number and like that's it.
But yeah. So yeah, that's gonna do it for
It
this.
is a musical number, isn't it, motherfucker?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. All right, so that's going to be next week. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Chema.
I've been Eddie.
And this was The Rollback, signing off with a reminder to. I don't know. Seek revenge against the cops.
Drink more water. Because, yeah, just drink more water. Also, your family loves you. Go, give them a call if you like them.
Drink more water, less energy drinks. Goodbye.
Adam, I'll cut it there.
Yeah,
Yeah, I let you have the last word sometimes.